I worship you this morning. I thank you so much because you are a good God. Bible says that you are good and your mercies, they endure forever. I talk under that mercy this morning as I go to your word. I trust in the same to uphold me. As the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Spirit. Do an internal work in our hearts and our lives, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten to revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. As the word goes forth, let it break yokes in our life, let it meet needs, cause glory to go to the name of Jesus and blessing unto us, the sons of men. As I pray also this morning, as I share your word, I pray for the help of the Holy Spirit, that Lord, you will help me to speak, Lord, as an oracle of God. Lord, I will not speak the enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that our faith today will not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I seek grace, Lord God, to redeem, and not to say things that are necessary. We come to give all the glory, praise, honor, and adorations unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please, let's open our Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'll quickly do a brief recap from verses 15 to 19. This was the last time, this is where we stopped. And if you remember, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, I was talking to us by the grace of God about how that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God. So I'll just read. Let's quickly read through, then I'll explain before we go into what we have for today. Let's read together. Study to show thyself approved unto God, as a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Next verse. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more godliness. Next verse. And their word will eat as dirty what? Canker, of whom is but Hymenaeus and Philetus. Next verse. Who concerning the truth have heard. Say, who concerning the truth have heard, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Verse 19. Nevertheless, that is in spite of what the Hymenaeuses and the Philetuses in the body of Christ are doing, Paul is saying, in spite of that, the foundation of God will stand that sure, having what it is sealed, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So back to verse 15. What are we saying? You see, Paul began to tell his spiritual son Timothy, he said, study. If I'm going to say like you talk in a colloquial, study, my son Timothy, study. Why? He said, to show yourself approved unto God. That means people can study and not study to show themselves approved unto God, but unto man. You see, it is God that determines that is going to mark this thing at the end of the day. So you can cram scriptures. There are many people in the seminary today that can quote the entire Bible, almost of it, if possible. But Paul was saying, look, my son Timothy, as a pastor, study to show yourself approved unto God, as a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of. So if you don't study to show yourself approved unto God, you will not be a workman, and you will not be able to rightly divide the word of. And God is very, very thorough. That's what you need to understand. Now, don't say it is only for Timothy, it's for every Christian. Why was he telling him to study? Why? The next thing he says, next verse, he says that avoid, shun, according to the Amplified Version, in verse 16, he said, shun vain, useless, idle talk. This is rampant in the body of Christ today. Most of the messages that people preach, they are vain, they are idle. And you know why he told him? He said, because they will lead to more ungodliness. That is, he says, study. If you don't, then avoid vain janglings. You know these things, the motivational teachings. Why? He said they will lead more and more unto ungodliness. That is, it will take you away from the purpose of God for Christianity, which is for us to be godlike. You see, it's a lesson for us to learn here. Everybody must study to show himself approved unto God, so they can rightly divide the word. Because if you keep on listening to things that are not in line with godliness, the end of our faith, the Bible says, is the salvation of our souls. Your purpose as a Christian, as you have been taught by Pastor Omomi, is for you to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you keep listening to messages that are just messages, I do talk, you come to church, you crack jokes, they share testimonies from beginning to the end, they camp around one testimony. Paul is telling Timothy that it's going to lead to more and more ungodliness. That is, so to speak, it will take away from the purpose of Christianity. Are you walking with me this morning? Praise the Lord. So he said we need more and more ungodliness. And then in verse 17, he now began to talk about, he gave two examples, Hymenaeus and Philetus. I may not get the pronunciation right, but you see what I'm saying is this. There are many of such in the body of Christ today. And what did these people do? The Bible says that overthrew the faith of some by teaching that the resurrection is past already. So you see, when you hear things they are not supposed to hear, when you listen to things you're not supposed to listen to, either on the internet or you watch it on TV or read books you are not supposed to read, it's going to lead to more and more ungodliness. And he said that their words would defile as a canker. Amplified calls it as a canker. That is, that little thing, you know, if you're going to kill somebody or a rat, you need just a little measure of rat poison to kill that animal. It's nothing much. So you see, the things we listen to, if you listen to things that are not in line with godliness, it will poison the mind and it will overthrow the faith of some. And he said it will spread like a gangrene. There are many of such doctrines in the body of Christ today that is spreading all around. And Christians are believing it. And if you look at it, it's taking them away from purpose and destiny, which is to be godlike. It's taking them away. I want to talk about it because I don't want to be distracted. It's taking them away from godliness, the purpose of Christianity, which is to become conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says in verse 18, he said, concerning, we talked about Hymenaeus and Philetus. He said that they have heard. Say they have heard. And the Revised Version says that they have missed the mark. What is the mark of Christianity? I already mentioned it. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the price of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So that is the purpose of Christianity. That mark, the bullseye of Christianity, is to become conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I said they preach that the resurrection is past. As I'm talking, I don't want to take too much time because it's a brief gap. You can think in your mind to things that people are saying that is heresy. And what I want us to see today, he said, because of this teaching, they overthrew the faith of some. The same way, it is Satan that is behind it, that he led one third of the angels of God astray. So we need to be very, very careful. So what am I saying this morning? You see, if this one in particular talks about, is a foundational doctrine in Christianity. I'll mention it. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2. Talks about the doctrine of the resurrection and eternal judgment. Here we see, what I want us to see is this, that what you hear and listen to can overthrow your faith. That's what the scripture is telling us. That is what I want us to hold on today. Proverbs 19:27 says, seize my son to hear the instructions that cause her to err from the words of knowledge, epignosis. Not just head knowledge. That is, we are talking about the exact, precise, complete knowledge of the Son of God. How he walked while he was on earth. So says, seize my son to hear instructions that will cause you to err from the words of knowledge. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says the same thing. He said, evil communications corrupt what? Good manners. So Bible says, avoid them. Don't listen to them, brethren. This is a critical time in the things and the program of God on earth. Don't let anybody lead you astray. Hold fast to that word that you have received, so that no man will take your crown. Praise the Lord. It's very important. I put in my notes Isaiah chapter 8, verse 16. Isaiah said something. He said, put it there. Say, bind, let's go there, bind up a testimony. Seal the law among my believers, disciples. Bind up a testimony. Bible said that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Lord Jesus Christ. Say, bind up, let's say, bind up the testimony. Seal what? The law among my disciples, not just believers. So you can see that already in the body of Christ, there are a lot of people that are just believers that are standing behind the pulpit. They are not working according to the tenets of the Lord Jesus Christ. The principles, they are not discipled. Lord said, can the blind lead the blind? No. They both fall into it. That is happening. Verse 20. What does he say? 20. He says that to the law. Say, no. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. It says that to the law and to the testimony. Say, they speak not according to this word. It is because there is no light in them. He didn't say they are not born again. What does that mean? You see, recently God has been sharing with me. The Bible says if you hate your brother, it says you are walking in darkness. The darkness has blinded your eyes. I don't know where to go. It's not because you are not born again. He said there is no light in them. Why? But they take it that the light in you become, does not become darkness. How does light become darkness when you're no more walking in love? The day you refuse to walk in love, that darkness comes in. I don't want to hear God again. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So that is that. And in verse 19, he began to, let's read verse 19 as I, that's important because that's where we stopped. I didn't really talk much about that. But nevertheless, I think in spite of what is going on that we all see, the foundation of God standard should have it what? This, that's MC was talking about that should bind among disciples. That the Lord made them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. Let's get that everyone, pastor, saints, those that are, everybody that names the name of the Lord, let him depart from what? Iniquity. We're going to see what that means as we continue. That word no, like I spoke about the last time, is a word that speaks about intimacy between a man and a woman, husband and wife. Was an Adam knew him and Eve conceived. Bible talked about Abraham. Say, I know him that he will command his children. It's not just no head knowledge. God knows everybody. But you know, we are talking about is a knowing that of intimacy between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereby we now begin to bear forth fruit with what? Patience. Are you all with me? Praise the Lord. So I put it here. Let's look at this aspect of departing from iniquity. And let's open to Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, and we'll read. Matthew 7, 20, and we'll read. Thank you. The master was talking after, you know, the Beatitudes, all the after he was rounding up that discourse. And the bank said, wherefore, by their fruits, you shall know them. Next verse. Help me, Lord. Next verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, they are not Christians. So he said, they will not enter into the kingdom, which talks about the dominion of a king, which is righteousness, peace, and joy, and the Holy Ghost over your spirit, soul, and body. He said, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Next verse. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name I've cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Next verse. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. That's the word. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. What does it mean to walk iniquity? It's the same word that says lawlessness. That is where we are now in the things happening in the world. Say, because iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax old. So you see, he said, I've never knew you. Why? You see, we are supposed to bring forth fruit unto patience, unto perfection, which is the love of God. At the beginning of what I read this course, he said, by their fruits you know them. So you see, he said, depart from ye that walk iniquity. You see, as I was thinking, I will give an example of something that happened recently, not to criticize or to condemn, but I'll start by saying this way. I wrote it down in my notes. I said, many are trying to build on gifts and not on character. It's like trying to build a skyscraper on the foundation of a bungalow. It is going to come down. It is going to come down. Why? Because the Bible says, the foundation, if you continue reading, next verse, he said that anybody that hears my saying and does it, he said this is like unto. But notice, pastor always tells us something. He said God demands immediate practice, but not immediate perfection. So I don't want us to be under condemnation. Maybe you woke up this morning and you didn't pray properly, or even slept off. No, that's what I'm talking about. You see, it takes patience to bear fruit. So that you yourself, you'll be patient with yourself as God is patient with you. That's why the Bible says, as he said, be ye tender hearted, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. He said, they brought fruit with patience. He said, be ye merciful, even as your Father is merciful. It's a high standard. Can you imagine what would have happened if Jesus Christ had sent Peter away? He said, the husbandman waited what? Patiently. For the precious fruit of the earth. And he has long patience for it. Then God began to talk to me about patience. It takes patience to bear fruit. It takes forgiveness for people to bear fruit. When he says, to that Bible we'll read, it says that dunk him the third year. One more year. I used to think every time I read it, God brought my heart, that okay, maybe it's next year. No! It is the year, according to God's own timetable schedule for that person. I don't know when God started. I don't know when he got the revelation. So, for some people, it may just be starting today. For some people, it may have started a long time ago. Can you imagine if Enoch had died? If God was not patient with Enoch, but said for 65 years, he did not walk with God. He said for 65 years, he did not walk with God. I don't think we have up to 10 people in this congregation that are up to 65 years old. But God was patient and was long-suffering. You know why? God looks at the heart, not at the actions. And at the end of the day, the Bible says that and Enoch all of a sudden woke up to reality and began to walk with God. Even his son that was older than him could not walk with God. And all says he was taken. Now you understand what the Bible says, he has long patience for it. How long is your patience with yourself? How long is your patience with those that God has brought you around? It takes patience, I repeat, to bear fruit. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? He said, depart from ye that walk iniquity. Iniquity is lawlessness. What does this mean? Pastor has taught us. I was talking about this. You see, at the same time, we must balance the truth. Jesus Christ told them one day, they came to him and said, Master, Master, Luke chapter 13. He said, do you hear those that the Galileans mix their blood of the kingdom of you? Then they said, you know what he said? He said, except you likewise repent, you shall likewise perish. Then he now said, what about the people that the Tower of Siloam fell upon earth and they died? He said, do you think there are sinners more than you? Say, except you likewise repent, you shall likewise perish. So recently, somebody was building a skyscraper or so. 21 story. The thing came down. Why? Because they did not build according to pattern. I'm not criticizing, I'm not condemning. That's why I read what Jesus Christ said. Because he was conversant of what was happening in Israel at that time. He said, those that the Tower of Siloam fell upon us, think they are better than you, are better than you. Or somebody comes and says, do you hear that they Boko Haram, whatever, kidnap some people and they kill them? And that starts saying in your heart, God has judged them. God has. He said, do you think you are better? Except you likewise repent. You shall likewise pray. We will not perish in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So, lawlessness. What is lawlessness? Not keeping God's spiritual law of life and love by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pastor taught us there is passive iniquity and active iniquity. What does it mean? Passive iniquity, just because of time, says omitting either willingly or by negligence and the daily keeping of spiritual law. When you omit it, that is passive iniquity. They have consequences. So you may say, I've departed. No, how do you know I've not departed from iniquity? Stop omitting spiritual law. Active iniquity is breaking of God's moral laws, which is the Ten Commandments, summarized in Romans chapter 13, verse 10. But the law is what? The fulfilling of the law. Titus 2:14 says, God gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and prefound himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. When was that scripture written, brethren? When? Over 2,000 years ago, right or wrong? He's still waiting. He's still waiting for that peculiar people that will come forth as a bride of Christ without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any sort. Let's go to what we have for today. Verse 20. So Paul now began to talk in relation to Hymenaeus and Philetus, those that are spreading wrong doctrine within the body. In Ephesus, the same thing happened in Thessalonica. When Paul had to write to him and said, we speak to you by the word of the Lord, that those that are alive will not hinder those that are dead, but the dead in Christ will rise from, because they were spreading wrong doctrine and they were overthrowing the faith of many people. So Paul began to talk in that context, now begins to talk about this popular verse you all know. So, and in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some to what? Honor. And some to dishonor. Next verse. If a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. What I want us to see here is this. Nobody starts as a vessel of gold or silver. We all start as vessels of wood, hay, and stubble. Why? Because of the same nature in our souls and our bodies. You can't get born again today and become a mature Christian tomorrow. No! Nobody starts. But you see, the condition is this. Says if any man, so anybody can purge himself. And God will not tell us to do what we cannot do. Are you with me? So he said, if any man purge himself, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master. Let's read that same verse in Amplified. In Amplified Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 in Amplified Bible. He explains this and it's clearer. Are you there, please? In Amplified, say, but in the great house, I don't want to waste time. That great house is talking about the universal body of Christ. They are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also, say, utensils of wood and earthenware, and some for honorable and noble use, and some for menial and ignoble use. Next verse. So whosoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, evil communications corrupt good manners. You have to separate yourself. Will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. So what is God trying to tell us? Two things. Anytime you see the word vessel in the Bible, in prophetic context, it's talking about your physical body. Say my physical body. That is your vessel. That is the clothing of your spirit man. So what is he talking about as pastor has taught us? He's talking about the life of Christ being made manifest in our mortal flesh. You see, there's a sin nature in your flesh. Paul said, I keep my body under. So after I preach to others, I will not be a castaway. He would not say that if it's not possible, because he recognized that he had the sin nature in his soul and in his body. The problem, folks, is not the person. It is the sin nature in the soul and in the body. That was Satan triggers each time. But does that mean that you now relax and say, God, there's nothing I can do? No, that's not what we are saying. So the vessels of gold and silver are those that will honor. The vessels of dishonor are the vessels of wood and of earth. So what are we saying? I already said that the vessels of honor are those that allow the life of God to be made manifest in their mortal flesh. Same thing I said about the wise virgin. Said they had oil in their vessels. It's time to begin to have oil in our vessels. To begin to pump that life into the physical body. So no longer will flesh begin to dominate us. That say the flesh lost against the spirit. The spirit against the flesh. That these two are contrary. They will not be able to do what you ought to do. Verses of dishonor are just a simple example of Moab. Moab is a type of the flesh in the Bible. If you open to Psalm 60 verse 8. Psalm 60 verse 8. Let's put there. It says that Moab is my washpot. Are we there? Verse 8, I said, not one. Say, Moab is my washpot. Bible says, Jesus Christ said, the flesh profited nothing. Moab is my what? Washpot. Vessel of dishonor. In the greater, there are many vessels. So, whoever does not begin to purge himself, what will happen? That person will be a vessel of dishonor. You know, somebody comes, you cannot use the same vessel that used to wash your hands to serve somebody. Are you with me? So, God, but you see, it's not to feel condemned. What we are saying is this. If we begin to purge ourselves, are you following me? Like I said, that same nature is the problem with every human being. And but God's desire is for all of his children to be vessels of honor. You cannot have 5 children and say, okay, this one, I will make you allow you to be vessels of his honor. No. God has the same desire for all his children. He wants everybody to be vessels of gold. That's why he's very patient and long-suffering. Can you imagine if you have children and maybe he's not doing well in school? How are you going to take him out of school and say, go and learn a trade? You're not going to do that. You're going to wait. Get teachers. Come and train teachers. You give up. You know, it's a suckling mother forget her children. They say, no, I won't forget you. That's why God does what he does. That's why he can understand how Saul can reign for 40 years. He kept believing the best. He kept believing the best. Moses at 40, up to 40, another 40 years, he still had not understood properly. Yet God did not give up on him. And he came back. And you know when he came back? He now fulfilled his purpose and destiny. At the age of 120, God did not give up on him. Manasseh as bad as it was. I don't think anybody has come to kill the children in church before and sacrifice them to Moloch. Yeah, God did something. You need to understand that every one member is a member of the body of Christ. So, that's why he told Paul. He said, Paul, why persecutest thou me? In the natural, Paul was persecuting Christians, but as far as Christ is concerned, he said, was him. So every pain that you are going through, the master feels it. That's why the Bible says the compassionate high priest. Folks, don't give up on people. Don't give up on God's creation. And don't call what God has called clean unclean, like Peter. Don't do. What am I saying? You see, God is patient. That's why you see, I've been praying. I thought, I wonder why this thing start. Why this judgment start? God started correcting me. We don't think like that. Be like David. When Abner died, he started weeping. He said, wow, God, a priest has fallen in Israel. When Saul died, he began to cry. Don't let your heart be too for judgment. It's true. Shall I begin in the house of God? Yes. But let me give you, if this is the body of Christ, and this finger is a member, this new member. If they come, God, and they say they are going to cut off his finger, would the remaining 9 fingers be clapping? Yes, cut it off, cut it off, cut it off. It's ridiculous. It's very ridiculous. You'll be up to the last minute. You'll be waiting. Maybe they will discover something that they can do. That's why God's long patience and long suffering. God corrected me one day recently, not in my notes. You know, I began to work on myself. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I was just praying, and God began to tell me. He said, don't call what I've called clean or common. And he told me, he gave me 3 examples. One in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, and a contemporary example. I'll give it as I continue. He told me about Isaiah, when he delivered a message to Hezekiah. He said, set your house in order, you shall surely die. And then he turned back, and he walked out of the court. Before he got out of the park, something, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and God showed him mercy. And he said, go back. I give him 50 years. If it was Jonah, he wouldn't go back. What happened? But you know that Isaiah was not there when Hezekiah repented. He didn't know. Be careful. Don't call what has called clean uncommon. Then the next example he gave me was the woman caught in adultery. He told me, he said that when they caught him, he said before they got to where he was telling me I was in prayer. He said the woman had repented, but the woman that caught him, they did not know. He had cried in her heart like Anna. He said, God, I'm sorry. I won't do it again. But he did not know. That is what, or else they would have stoned him. And Jesus Christ perceived that she has repented. But nobody knew. And he said, woman, where are those that are Christians? Go and see no more. But nobody knew. Those that caught him, the scribes and the Pharisees, they did not know she had repented. Of a house how to be pure. Said, do I delight in this death of a sinner? No. What of you, Paul had died years ago when he was killing Christians? Where would the half over of our New Testament be? God is patient and long suffering. That's what we're talking about. Now give me another example from contemporary times about Papa Egan. Papa Egan was sharing one time that he went to a place to minister, and the service was not going well. Everything was going rabba rabba to speak akulaka language. And he said, nothing happened. He said, all of a sudden, when he went home, he was a bit discouraged and was driving home. Then he saw one man. The man went to so-called, what we call a dark dive, maybe like a hotel or where they drink. He said, he saw the man going. And said, he drove off. And the next day in the service, he came. And he said, when he got to the service, that man that he saw that entered so-called dark dive, the man stood up, gave a prophetic word, and the service changed. And gifts and things started happening. He said he could not take it. He said, I like that man, he's always honest. He said, he could not take it. He said, throughout the service, man, why can't this God? I saw him. He said, when I got to a man, I was going to him. He said, now, Lord Jesus, you have to tell me what happened. There are people that are fasting and praying in that church, even me, myself, you didn't use me, you didn't use them. And you now find that man. I saw him when he entered that dark dive. Do not call work that's God clean or common. All this is not in my notes. That's some of the things that God has been talking to me about. Be patient with people. Be tender. A bruised reed, it will not break. A smoking flax, it will not quench, but it will gently fan it. It takes patience, though, to bear fruit. So you know what happened? Jesus Christ now answered him. He said, you saw him going, but you don't know what happened. He said, when he entered the place, he said, he came to himself and he said, oh my God, what am I doing? And he ran outside. He said, you didn't see that, but I was there. I saw it. And you know what he told him? This was what shook me. He said that I can use him because he has repented much more as I can use that, not seen that at all. You know why? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. We don't understand what that blood does. I'm not saying go and sin deliberately. It is not in the Old Testament that they covered some of their sins with animal. And Bible says in the books of Hebrew, it says anytime they do it, it brings to remembrance. When you confess your sins, God does not remember. He said there are sins. He said, I will blot out their transgression for my own sake. And there are sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. Can you imagine if you want to come and pray and God begins to recount your sin to you? Your faith will drop immediately. Their sins and iniquities are. He begins to tell Paul, you that you did this, you were there when they killed Stephen. Paul never fulfilled his destiny. For my own sake, so I'll blot it out so that I can be faith. So God told him, he said, look, I can use him more than more so I can use you. So when you want to quote the scripture, say, some of you are thinking and saying, God said in the Old Testament, these 10 times they have offended him. No. Old Testament, write the Bible of truth. What does that mean? Because at that time, Christ has not been sacrificed. So anytime they do it again, it brings remembrance. So God remembered was 10. In the New Testament, he does not remember. Let us begin to magnify the blood of Jesus Christ. We begin to clean ourselves with that blood. Am I saying go and sin? No. 1 John chapter 2 says, my children, sin not. I say unto sin not. So I'm not saying don't take the wrong message and run away with it. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue. It says that this thing says that we have to purge ourselves. Now, I put it here. That purging is dependent on two things. But what I want to see is that a vessel of honor, meet for the master's use. He's talking about honor. He talks about in the beginning, the glory that God bestowed upon Adam was the glory that he put upon him. Bible says in Psalm 8 verse 6, he said that thou hast made him a little lower than Elohim. And thou hast bestowed him upon him glory and honor. Talking about Adam. Psalm 8 verse 5. I follow him. So I put it here. It is the glory of God in this end time that will once again confirm the ultimate honor of God on man. What he did in Genesis, he wants to do in this third day. That is the best honor that God wants to give us. God can honor you, give you a position, give you money, bless you, give you influence. But the greatest honor is to carry the glory of God. So let's focus on the glory. That's why he wants us to purge our sin nature. Bible says, for all I've sinned and I've come short of glory. So it is the sin that in us short-circuited the glory of God. So God wants us to purge ourselves. That's the whole reason. So I can become vessel of honor and carry the glory. Praise the Lord. He wants to crown man, I put in my notes, again with glory and honor. Esther chapter 6, verse 6, verse 6. Esther 6, 6. We are talking about vessel of honor. That is your vessel. That is your garments. So in Esther 6, 6, a question was asked because of time. You know that story? When Ahasuerus was that king, and then when this guy came in, Haman. This is what I want to focus on them. They asked the question. God is asking that question to us. He said, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor? God. What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor? Esther chapter 6 verse 8. Because of time. The first thing that came out of Haman's mouth, just like the high priest prophesied and he knew he was prophesying. The first thing he said, what did he say? He said, let the royal apparel be brought which the king used to wear. So what is the royal apparel that the king wears? The king now is the Lord Jesus Christ. What is his royal apparel? When he was in the Mount of Transfiguration, the Bible says he was transfigured before them. And they saw his glory. What is that royal apparel? Let scripture interpret itself. Psalm 104 verses 1 to 2. This was talking, what does he say? Psalm 104 verse 1 to 2. Say, oh Lord my God. Oh, he said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art what? Clothed. With what? Honor and majesty. Next verse. Who covereth as the God's clothing? Who covereth himself with light as with a garment? Who stretches forth the curtains, the heavens at the curtain? So we see what shall be done unto a group of people that purge themselves in this end time. God clothed them with the same garment that clothes themselves with his glory. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. What does he say? He says that wherein according to our gospel. No. Yes. Second, yes, let's read together. This is the same glory. Say, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that by our gathering. No. Verse 14. Yes. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of all the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's that same glory that the master carried. It is the same thing that God wants you and I to carry. How be it when we purge ourselves? Bible says, purge out the old leaven that may become a new lump. So there are two ways this purging goes on. Don't be afraid of purging. When you have purging, people are afraid. No. God is so kind. You see, if you don't understand that God loves you, you'll be afraid of him. You think like he wants to kill me. No. Like I said, you have 6 children. Are you going to say, no, you'll be a vessel of wood? No. All of them. As of honor. And you do everything. You delay the timing like God is doing so many more can come in. Said, if though it tarry, wait for it. It's not tarrying. But God wants to bring many sons to glory. So he's giving you a night time. But I understand. He said, my thoughts was you have good out of you to give you an expected end. That end is in the Bible. Receiving the end of your faith. Even the salvation of your soul. So he's extremely patient. Don't be lazy. I don't know when your own started counting. So I don't know when your third year will be. I follow him. So but don't be lazy. But at the same time, be encouraged that the fact that nothing has happened is because God knows that you can make it. He said, every branch in me that will not bear fruit, he take it away. So if he has not taken you away, that means God believes that you can see bear fruit. So don't give up on yourself. If you didn't give up on Enoch, why would you give up on you? Who is 65 years? Let them raise up their hand. He didn't give up on Moses. Why would you give up on yourself? I was in my Bible some time ago, and I read where Judas went out to go and preach Jesus Christ. And I linked it with, I will get there with something, where it says that, in this end time, this will happen. I was a God. I said, but for Judas's case, I can't remember that Jesus Christ did something that offended him. And God spoke to me. And what he said, why did you just do what he did? The love of money. The root of all evil. Including betrayal. So, two ways which you purge ourselves. He said, we'll do it ourselves. If any man purge himself, simple, you use the blood, the word, and the spirit, as you have been taught, to cleanse yourself from all fitness of respect and spirit, perfecting holiness, fire of God, in the fear of God. Two, the second way is by the teaching of the apostolic and prophetic messengers. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Let's read. Behold, I will send my messenger. He's not going to say, he already sent them. Thank God for our parents. They are God's messengers. They have given us what we need. Like they gave Esther the things of our purification. Behold, I sent my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall what? Certainly come to his temple. You are the temple of Lord Jesus Christ, individually and corporately. Even the messenger of the covenant. So there are two messengers there, like Pastor taught us. The first one is the prophetic messenger, a type of John the Baptist. The second messenger, I can see, he said, the messenger of the covenant. What is the covenant? They are those that give you the wisdom, the instruction of how to fulfill the covenant of God. I follow him, which is to become like him. Say, whom you delight in, behold, it shall come, saith the Lord. So it's guaranteed will come. He has already come, folks. Next verse. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For it's like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. Next verse. And he shall sit. So he's not in a hurry. Say, he's not in a hurry. He's sitting right now. So you can feel the heat or the fire. He's trying to get the love of God to be purified in your lives. He said, and purge them. That same word, purge again. As gold and silver, that they may offer up unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of going to be, you know, present unto the Lord. What are we saying? You see, when you read these things, don't be afraid. Pastor has taught us what God is looking for. Perhaps that God is out looking for God. So if God is love, love is out looking for love. That's what he's looking for. Are you with me? So that is very important for us to know. That's what Christ God is looking for. So when you now take the instructions of the prophetic apostolic ministries, that instruction that takes you to the perfection of Christ. Mind you, remember, I said that strong vain babblings, because they take you away from godliness. So these people that God has sent, they give you the tools, the cues, the purification things that you need to cleanse yourself from all sin and filthiness. So that why? So that you can become like Him. Let me ask you a question. Please, I repeat what I, before I say. I'm not saying be lazy. There's an urgency in the air. You need to understand that. But you know, you've been hearing this message for how many years? 20? 25? 30? And you're wondering? Don't leave your place to go out fishing now. Are you with me? Don't say it's not going to happen again. It will happen, no? It's going to be suddenly. That suddenly there, it applies to everybody individually and also corporately. Depending on the time you got the message and how far you have been diligent about it. I put it here. I say, currently our love work is being refined through much tribulation so that the abounding iniquity of this end time cannot drown it. Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7 says, many waters cannot quench love, nor can the flood drown it. He says, prepare unto every good work. I'll talk about that and we'll close. What does it mean to prepare to every good work? There are three levels of good works that Pastor has taught us. Say, physical good works of charity given to the poor, orphans and widows, which is fundamental. Any Christian can do this. So unbelievers even do better than most of us Christians. But we should be able to do this one. Prepare unto every good work. But see, when you keep on purifying yourself, move to the next level, the good works of the embellished by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. That is the earnest that we have. See that in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, it says, go into all the world and preach gospel. He said, whoever hears and believes, you shall be saved. Whoever does not believe shall be damned. And I said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out. Remember that those he was speaking to were just 3 years with him. They were spiritual babies. That's why I said, I thank you, my Father, you have shown this thing to babes. Peter, James, John, all those of them, they're all babes. But I had a good heart. And so he was patient with them. He was long-suffering with them. So, we can all do that. Acts 10:38. Our God, under Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of them, because God was with him. And the final one is the one we are waiting for, which is good works that are done by the Spirit without measure. That is the same full anointing that God has. God knows that you and I can't get there. But when you stay under the covenant, that those have already gone ahead. When the anointing comes on them, God will now take a measure of full anointing, which you call the bold anointing, and put it on you. So that you now begin to work out your salvation with fear and trembling until you too now inherit your own. But you see, when we read this thing like this, it's not something that takes even 1 year, 2 years. It will take time. It's going to take time. Now, does that mean we should while away the time? No, don't while away the time, please. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying there's an urgency in the air. Why? Because there's a measure of grace that God has released for them to step up our act. Praise the Lord. So that is the good works that God wants us to do. And that's why it's the last one. Isaiah, we don't have to turn to Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2. It said, in that day, and they said, let us go out to the mountain of the Lord's house, and will teach us his ways, and walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go for the law, and the word of God from Jerusalem. As he will say, teach us. People are now going to get born. It is this with that measure that we can use to disciple the nations. That's the only thing that can do it. The earnest cannot do it. If we could do it, we have done it since. That's why we have not done it. So we need to disciple the nation. So people will now look at you and say, come and show me your God. Then they will follow you. That's what God wants to do. And then we'll just stop for today. These good works will attract unregenerate men to the church. And will also determine our eternal reward. So God wants us to do those good works at all those three levels. At least start with works of charity. Then begin to exercise yourself in praying for the sick. Don't be afraid. Say, this sign shall happen. If you pray and doesn't happen, it's not your name. Do you pay your name? I pray the name of Jesus Christ. And then finally, when the spirit of our measure is released, then as God has mercy, we'll not take a measure on it and put it on everybody. The pastor and mommy has taught us. Then we cannot begin to do the good work in that little measure that God wants us to do. Praise the Lord. Let's bow down to pray as we talk to the Lord.
Let's ask God to help us. He wants all his children without exception to be vessels of honor. So he has long patience until he receives the early and the latter rain. So don't give up on yourself. Don't. Have you seen a match you are playing before? If you have a good coach or manager, when he looks at the team, if he sees that this guy can still score, he will leave him there. God doesn't have useless members. Ask yourself this question. Don't be discouraged. Why hasn't he taken me out? Don't take it for granted, though. Because he believes the best. Love always believes the best. Once he sees that somebody cannot bring forth fruit, then takes it away. But if he's still there, that means he believes that he can still bear fruit. Say, I can still bear fruit. With patience. Unto perfection. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. All I want,
healthy, build my life upon all this world, rivers and walls to walk.
All I want's the gain.
All I want's the gain. I have found the loss.
Us from all unrighteousness, receive your life and your power in sufficient measure for this prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to build my Christian life on the rock of revelation knowledge of the love of God, and also to use your blood, the word, and the spirit to purge myself of the sin nature that is still in my soul and my body, that I may be a vessel unto honor, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. I come to ask for fresh mercy and grace to be a doer of the word and not the hearer only, so that having done all things, I will stand. Having done all to stand in this end time. Let's now pray in tongues. Let's pray. Thank you. Lord, just thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. If you are here and you have a little of healing that you taught to pray, because the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Just say, Lord, I receive my healing. Bible says they preached the word and they got confirmed with signs following. Say, Lord, I receive my healing. Say, Lord, I receive my deliverance. Whatever you are going through, like the power of God is present here to heal you. The Bible says the scripture comes from and says, who forgiveth all your iniquities? Who healeth all your diseases? Once there is forgiveness, healing follows. Praise the Lord.